one minor detail here. God's people live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Computers, not so much.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we don't need the lamp. All right. Okay, good morning. The wonders of technology. Glad you all can make it. If you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're here visiting, welcome. If you've been here for years, welcome. We are going to talk about the way this morning, and not the way that you've heard from, there was a cult, back in the 70s and 80s called The Way. This is not that way. See if this works right. Lesson in geography and history here. After the American Revolution in 1775 to 83, and after the Treaty of Paris was ratified by all parties involved, America began turning its eyes to the American West. And Thomas Jefferson was our third president at the time, and he was very active in wanting to explore this newfound land. And he's the one that, you remember, purchased the Louisiana Purchase. I hope you can see it there in the middle, the Louisiana Purchase. Well, what this picture shows is the map of the Lewis and Clark Expedition from 1804 to 1806. Prior to that, there was some preparation needed to be made. Jefferson didn't know how big this continent was. Earlier in 1792, we had several ideas about how to explore the continent. But in 1792, on May 11th of that year, a ship named the Columbia, the captain was a guy named Robert Gray, he sailed that ship into the mouth of the Columbia River. Well, it wasn't called the Columbia River until after he found it. Anyway, he named it after his ship. And during that time, he met up with another captain from the British government named George Vancouver. You probably heard that name too, up in that area of the country. He was making an official voyage of discovery of the whole Pacific coast for the British government. Well, he and Captain Robert Gray traded information back and forth, as they like to do. And what they realized was that the discovery of the Great River of the West, that they called it, established the mouth of the Columbia at 124 degrees longitude and a latitude of 46 degrees. And I think you can see it up there in the corner there. I put that, that's not on the original map. This got this from the internet, but anyway. They established where that mouth was. And also, from the results of Captain James Cook's voyage, his third voyage in 1780, from that voyage, Jefferson had a rough idea how big the continent was. But he didn't know exactly until Gray and Vancouver expeditions came back with this information, and they determined that the continent was about 3,000 miles wide, something they didn't know before. So here's a picture of a man using one of the instruments that they probably used as a sextant. You use it to take sun sights, and you can use it to take star sights too. And he also uses a chronometer, the watch on his wrist there, because that's all carefully timed. You have to know how many degrees you are east or west from the prime meridian, which is in Greenwich, England. But that's what he does. That's the instrument he uses, and that's probably similar to the instrument Robert Gray used to take his latitude and longitude at the Columbia River mouth. So, however, in recent years, the sextant has been replaced by a GPS. And it's also, GPS stands for Global Positioning System. There's a series of satellites orbiting the Earth, and I'm sure you've all know about this. You can get them handheld, or you can get them mounted on your dash of your car. They're kind of cool gadgets, Problem is, people are depending too much on them. You've heard of some people getting lost while following their GPS. And some of these stories are humorous and some are not. This story from, it's from FoxNews.com and NBCNews.com, they had the same story that in August 2009, in Death Valley National Park in California, an 11-year-old boy died of dehydration and exposure after the GPS navigator his mother was following stranded them on a rough country road. Alicia Sanchez was found severely dehydrated and remained hospitalized in Las Vegas a day after being found with her dog, her dead son, and a Jeep Cherokee buried up to its axles in the sand. She told rescuers in California's San Bernardino County that her son Carlos died Wednesday, days after she fixed a flat tire and continued on into Death Valley. And she was relying on the directions from her GPS that was in with the vehicle. Keep in mind, in August in Death Valley, the average daytime temperature is 113 degrees. Average. And I interviewed this one guy. People are renting vehicles with GPS and they have no idea how it works, and they are willing to trust the GPS to lead them into the middle of nowhere. Death Valley Wilderness Coordinator Charlie Callaghan told the Sacramento Bee, "It's what I'm beginning to call death by GPS," said Callaghan. The Sextant requires some math skills to use, and unfortunately the GPS, which has replaced it, requires no math skills. And so the art of getting lost is becoming available to more and more people. And I guess they don't teach math skills in fifth grade anymore. I guess it's just too hard. Anyway, that brings me to a point here. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is another way. If you turn to John 14, we'll see what that other way is. And this, thankfully, this was quoted earlier this morning in Breaking Bread. John 14, verse 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Know about you, but for me, this passage is probably some of the most comforting verses in Scripture. But I wanted to show you something about the mirror of Scripture. Mirrors reveal what we look like. In the mirror of Scripture, you can use verses to compare with other verses, and I thought this was incredible. I hope you can see that. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. There is a way which seems right to a man. It seems right. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought that was, when I was studying for this, I was focusing on I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then I came across Proverbs 14:12, and I thought, wow, that's almost a complete mirror image or opposite of John 14:6. Here's some other ones I found. You can, and this is just a sampling. There's a whole bunch of these. Proverbs 4:14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Compare that with Proverbs 2:20. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of righteous, of the righteous. Here's another one. This is darkness and light. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Proverbs 4:19. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. I think I got one more here. The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 15:19, and then it just leads right into 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. And there are some other ways. Turn over to Jude, it's chapter 1. There's the only chapter. It's the book right before Revelation. Jude, I'll start in verse 10. There's only one chapter. Yes. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Three men mentioned here, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And I've got you can read, take note of those verses, passages, and read the way of Cain. You can find in Genesis 4, verses 1 through 8. I'll just read verse 3 and 4. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord did not have regard for Cain's offering, and Cain got mad and ended up killing Abel. And apparently Cain thought he knew better. I mean, you can study that, I'm sure, for that would be a whole other message. There's a way which seems right to a man. Balaam, this is a big long chapter, story from Numbers 22 through Numbers 24. There's like a lot of big story there, but in verses 12 and 13, God said to Balaam, Balaam was asked by Balak to come and curse this nation of Israel that was coming out of Egypt. God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. You can see right away that Balaam didn't tell the whole story. God told Balaam that this nation of Israel is blessed, and for some reason Balaam conveniently left that part out. And the result, further on in Numbers 31, verses 7 and 8, I'll just paraphrase here. It says, for they made war against Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. This way that seems right is a way that ends in death. And last one is Korah, the rebellion of Korah, Numbers 16. Korah, he was out in the journey in the desert, and Korah took it upon himself to challenge the authority of Moses and Aaron. And so Moses basically called him out. And I'd encourage you to read the whole story. I'm just just getting just parts of this just to whet your appetite to go look it up about this other way. Because the result was, and the earth, in Numbers 16, verse 32 and 33, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah, with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them. And they perished in the midst of the assembly. Like I said, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So, as Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? That is a good question. And John 15, Jesus gave us a signpost to follow on the way. He said, let's turn back there, John 15, verse 12 to 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus laid that down in John 15. In John 17, he is praying to his Father, and he confirms that his words came from the Father. He says, I have manifested your name. Let's just turn over a chapter. John 17, verses 6 through 8. I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee. And they believed that thou didst send me. So we can trust the fact that the words that Jesus gave his disciples are the words we can use too. And that same thing applies to the way the Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament writers. And we have intimate details on how to travel on this way that God tells us. This is from Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 2. He says, Therefore, be imitators of God. And by the way, this was quoted this morning too, earlier. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And I would encourage you to go ahead and read that whole, at least down to verse 21, review that whole chapter 5, because it lists out a whole bunch of instructions, you know, positive and negative, for us to guide us on our walk. No immorality, impurity, or greed must not even be named among you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Walk as children of the light. I'm just picking out a few here. In all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is part of the way that we are to walk. And if you are one that likes lists, I've got a few here. One of Jesus' great commandments, well, it is the greatest commandment, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, I've realized, is personal behavior. It says we're to love ourselves, and that doesn't mean, you know, it's even back in Ephesians 5, it says don't overestimate yourself. Don't hold yourself in high estimation. So keep that in mind as you think about love your neighbor as yourself. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you jealous? Do you like to brag? Or are you arrogant? Do you act unbecomingly? And think about this in terms of yourself. Am I kind to myself? Do I take into account a wrong suffered? In other words, am I always beating myself up when something doesn't go right? I mean, the Lord doesn't beat me up, so why should I? So, do you rejoice in the truth? And these last are kind of hard. Do you bear all things? I mean, life, nobody said life was going to be easy. Just I mean, whatever the Lord has handed you, He gives you the power and the strength to bear it. Okay, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor. Okay, this is Romans 12, 9 through 19. I'm sure we could all break out in song right here. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. persevere in tribulation. Practice hospitality, contributing to the needs of the saints. I can thankfully report to you that this body is really good at these. And as far as behavior towards us, I'll never forget a brother that came and prayed with us after we lost our little boy. And he just sat down. He didn't say much at all. And he cried with us. And I'll never forget that. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Here it is. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Refer that back to love yourself. And that under that list, remember there was one called Is Not Arrogant. Love is not arrogant. So actually, this is not all of them. It goes on. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you. So far as it depends on you, in other words, there are things you can't control. Be at peace with all men. And never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. That's Romans 12, 9 through 16. So, where are you? Are you out in the desert with your car buried up to the axles in the sand? What is your spiritual latitude and longitude? You're on a way here. Do you know what way you're on? Do you know the way that you're going? Does your spiritual GPS have outdated maps? You could take that a long ways. You can, you know, Paul says, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. What faith are you in? What are you trusting? I remember, came across it earlier, Jeremy Gehring spoke last summer sometime about the woman at the well, and I made a note in my Bible that says, what well are you drinking from? And I remember him talking about that, and I thought, that's a good question. Make sure your GPS is up to date. Are you able to take your own sun sights? That's play on words there, but remember in Hebrews 12, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That kind of sun sight is what I'm talking about. And you don't need a GPS and you don't need a sextant. You don't need a stopwatch to do that. But you do need this Bible here. And speaking of the Bible, I came across this passage. It's years back, and it has been a real blessing to me. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. That's Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 22. That's, to me, is about as comforting as the passage in John 14, where Jesus is right there with us. He knows, He knew Thomas's question even before He asked, but He said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, there you go. If you're on the way, this is the way, walk in it. It's in the Word. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, that's all I have. And I would announce to you too that about the fellowship lunch. We'll pray for the food here in a minute. But, and this is to all of you, but it's mostly to our small group. If you're in Jesse and our small group, keep in mind that in Acts 2:42, there was fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, apostles teaching. There was four things there. One of them was fellowship. And if we could just wait until people are done fellowshipping before we go wiping tables down and picking them up and leaving them, herding people out, that's just a kind of a gentle reminder. Just the, you know, the fellowship is just as important as everything else. If you want to get up and go wash dishes, that's fine. But, or and if you got kids that need to be home and take a nap, that's fine too. But we're here all afternoon. So anyway, let's give thanks for the food. Lord God, thank you for your way. I realize, Lord, I didn't turn this over to you at the start, but just turn this over to you now and ask you to bless these words to our hearts. Help us, Lord, just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we walk by the way. And thank you, Lord, that you sent him here to show us the way. And we just thank you, too, for the fellowship we have because of you, because of your Holy Spirit that you placed inside of us. And we just ask you to bless the food we're about to take care of right now, Lord, and just pray that you would bless our fellowship. And we just lift this time up to you now, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all. I don't know if the food's ready, but if it's ready, let's go eat.